The data shows that personal debt is rising and folks are worried about their financial future. So what's the solution? Hi, I'm Rob West. There are some things we can't control, like inflation and a slowing economy, but we can do some things, especially when it comes to managing and eliminating debt. Neely Simon joins us today to talk about the solution to fretting over finances. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Neely Simon is our guest today. She's a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors, an underwriter of this program. Now, we sometimes refer to them as CCC, not to be confused with CERT CFC, another great program that helps people control their finances. But today, we're talking about Christian Credit Counselors, and it's always a treat when Neely joins us because she has such great ideas for people who need help with debt. So, Neely, it's great to have you back with us.
It's great to be here, Rob. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Neely, credit card debt, as you know, is at an all-time high. And we put that alongside the fact that the gross domestic product is falling. That means our economy is slowing. And just recently, we had a disappointing jobs report. It feels like kind of the perfect storm is brewing here. Would you agree?
It really is. And much of the worrying is about debt. You know, we've all heard of it, and most of us have it. Debt has really become an unavoidable reality for life, and it can be very consuming if you have it. So at Christian Credit Counselors, we just really want to help. We want to come alongside and help you with your financial challenges because they're not meant to be faced alone. And we really just need to start talking about our finances so that we can reduce the stigma around debt, which is so common for us. Mm. You know, often people don't want to reach out and get help because there's some shame or guilt associated with the debt. But today we're really going to provide you some solutions of overcoming credit card debt the right way.
Oh, that's great, Neely. I'm looking forward to diving into that. But first, I'd love for you to unpack some of the stats that really give us a view into the fact that folks really are worrying about this area.
So in 2024, the Wells Fargo Foundation put out a survey, and it talked about what some of the personal finance worries are for most people. And what they found is that roughly 6 in 10 people feel that the U.S. economy is not really going to benefit them once the improvements start happening. And then more than half agree that the uncertainty in the economy makes achieving their long-term financial goals impossible. Yeah. And then lastly, at least a quarter of Americans are concerned that their money won't last or feel like they'll never have the things they want because of their situation. Mm. I think what's really important is that you have to understand why people are feeling this way. Yeah. And some of the other statistics are that 1 in 3 people don't pay their bills on time, which is up 27% from last year. And only 2 in 5 Americans have a budget and keep track of their spending. And then nearly 39% of people are concerned that the money they have or will save won't last. So I think what's really important to understand here is that we can really lessen the amount of anxiety and worry if we start saving and if we start spending less than we make.
Well, that really makes the case, Neely. All right. So how do we begin to secure our financial future?
So if you do have credit card debt or any type of debt, that's where you really want to start. And if you have credit card debt, it's really important you get connected with a certified credit counseling agency because they can help reduce your payments, creating more disposable income, lowering your interest rates so you're able to get out of debt faster. And typically it's about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full.
That's great.
And then we also talked about spending less than you make. Creating a savings and then increasing it whenever possible really helps to create some financial peace and stability. And it also will allow you to give generously and find contentment. So at Christian Credit Counselors, we really want to help you get out of the credit card debt by educating you on your options. Keep in mind, our consultation is free and it's confidential. What we want to go over is a comparison estimate, outlining all the benefits and the fees, walk you through a budget, and provide a plan to get out of debt.
Oh, Neely, that sounds great. And by the way, this is my preferred way, folks, for you to get out of debt. Just go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org today. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Neely, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. These days, there is so much talk about war. So much it can be hard to keep track of it all. Some conflicts have gone on for years. Others are just now on the brink of drawing in other nations. And yet we know that one day, all of this will end. Jesus will bring His heavenly kingdom on earth. And then all wars will cease. Micah 4:3 tells us the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Under the reign of King Jesus, fear will vanish and there will be peace. See Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Try out Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Christ to this earth is certain. It is going to happen. I can't tell you when. I'm not even going to attempt to do that. Not only is the Lord's coming certain, but according to Paul, it is imminent.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his message, Live Like You Were Dying, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Great to have Neely Simon this morning with us. Hey, let's turn the corner and take your calls on any financial topic today. We can certainly continue on the debt topic. Perhaps you're struggling to get out of debt, any type of debt. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. But we can also expand your questions to any financial topic, whether it's your lifestyle and staying on budget. Maybe it's investing for the future, getting that credit score up, or maybe it's giving wisely. Whatever it might be today, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number 800-525-7000. We've got lines open at the moment, so you can call right now. In the news today, buying a house has become one of the more challenging financial feats to accomplish these days. Rising home prices and seemingly ever-increasing interest rates have combined to form a significant obstacle for home buyers. You well know that if you're out there looking for a home. As a result, many of these folks are tempted to reduce the amount they put down on their initial purchase. But while buying a house may be more difficult than in years past, putting at least 20% down on your home is still a great idea and comes with several not so obvious benefits. Let me mention a few of these and then we'll dive into your questions today. First, it strengthens your offer. A down payment of at least 20% demonstrates your strength as a buyer, showing that you have the financial wherewithal to navigate the many potential pitfalls between contract and closing. These can include the appraisal issues, unexpected repairs, surprise credit issues, or even interest rate buy-down. So just recognize in a competitive environment that 20% down payment is going to strengthen your offer. Secondly, it eliminates PMI. What is that? Well, that's private mortgage insurance. It's required on all FHA loans, but with conventional loans, if you have less than 20% going in, meaning you have less than an 80-20 loan-to-value ratio, you will have that cost. And in doing so, it doesn't benefit you whatsoever. And it can be typically around 1% of the mortgage value. So an unnecessary added expense that goes away with that 20% down payment. Thirdly, it reduces stress. The larger the down payment on your home, the smaller your overall mortgage is. And correspondingly, smaller the monthly payment will be. Many lenders will also offer a lower interest rate to those with a larger down payment. All of this contributes to a more manageable house payment and better opportunities to pay off your mortgage more quickly. Finally, it protects you in a down market. While home values have risen consistently for most of American history, there have been brief periods of pullback. I'm not anticipating that anytime soon. In fact, in a little bit, I'll talk about a new research report out on the housing market and give you a sense of where we're headed. But just a preview of coming attractions, we don't expect any kind of decline, even in a recession, among housing prices. So it's going to put you in a position, if we ever did, to ensure that you're never underwater, experiencing financial pressure, and unable to sell your home if you needed to. So think about those other benefits of that 20% down payment that we talk about here so often when buying a home. Listen, I get it that it's harder than ever, but it may mean that you delay that purchase and save so you can buy, hopefully at a lower interest rate a little further down the road, but with that full 20% down. All right, let's dive into your questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you on any financial topic. Let's begin in Tennessee. Hi, Kelsey. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for answering my question.
Sure.
I was just curious. So my husband and I, we're in our mid-20s. We're expecting our first baby here in a few months.
Awesome.
And we're super excited. We've been told about a 529 account. And we're just kind of wondering your suggestions on ways to set her up for financial success in the future, if the 529 account is something you would start with, or if you had any other ideas.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Kelsey, congrats to you and your husband. That's amazing. There's no greater joy than the blessing of being able to have a family. And so that's incredible. I love that you're already thinking about how to set her up in the future. I guess the first thing I would say is, and we'll get into the specific account type here in just a second. Let's make sure, though, before you do that, because you do have time, to put money aside. And there are other ways to pay for college if that's the direction she goes. But I would want to make sure that before you do that, you have some other priorities in place. Namely, you've got that emergency fund. I recommend 3 to 6 months expenses. Secondly, that you don't have any high interest credit card debt. Thirdly, that you are putting something on a systematic basis away for retirement. At the very least, taking advantage of any matching that you have in a company-sponsored plan. So do you have all those boxes checked?
We do.
Okay, great. And so then I think being able to start to put something away for college, per se, can be a great option because, as you well know, compounding works most effectively for you when it's over a long period of time. And so starting early would be great. I do like the 529 plan, and I like it now more than ever. And here's why. Listen, we realize that, going to college is still a great option. It's a great option for most kids coming out of high school. It gives you preparation and the ability to get a degree, hopefully that leads to a better paying job. And so I think, the data says that's a very appropriate appropriate track for most students. However, there will be students that decide that's not for me for whatever reason. They want to pursue something where it makes more sense to go to a trade school or get a specific type of training for what it is God has in store for them, or starting a business, or any number of things. And so the nice thing about the 529 is, number one, you can save like a Roth IRA where it's tax deferred or tax free growth as long as you use it for qualified educational expenses. So that's number one, you get tax benefits. Number two is, if she were to get scholarships and or grants, you can get the money back on a pro rata basis without any penalties. And then number three is, the new piece of this is that she would be able, if she didn't use it all, she could roll up to $35,000 of it over into a Roth IRA, and then it just could continue to grow for retirement, which would give her just a really great head start on having some money that could continue to grow tax-free throughout her working years and have a really nice nest egg in retirement. And so that wasn't available before, but it is now. And so I think for those reasons, this really is my preferred option for saving for college. The only other consideration, Kelsey, is just if you wanted that money more widely available for any purpose beyond college, then you may want to think about saving in a different way. But if you're comfortable earmarking it for college, and knowing that she can get it back for scholarships and grants, knowing that she has the option to roll up to $35,000 into the Roth, then I would say go for it. And the place I would go to determine which state's 529 to use is a website called savingforcollege.com, because you may find that even though you're there in Tennessee, that another state's plan is better just based on the fees or the performance historically of the investments. And Saving for College will help you determine that. Does that all make sense, though?
It does. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Listen, if you just set up an automatic debit, you know, it could be $25 a month. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot, but just given the fact that you'd be putting this money away systematically for the next 18 years, you'll be surprised at how much you'll be able to build up over time. And with that tax-free growth, you've got, that on top of it. So hopefully that helps. God bless you. And congratulations again on this new little one. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we offer biblical wisdom related to financial decision-making, looking to God's Word and the counsel of Scripture to apply to our financial decisions and choices, recognizing God owns it all and we're stewards, money managers for the King of Kings. Our goal, faithfulness to what has been entrusted to us, each faithful to his or her ability. What God has given to us to be responsible for, we want to be obedient to his word, holding it loosely, giving generously, not finding our value or our worth in the things of this world, in money, but in God himself as our ultimate treasure, managing money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We do that each day on this program. Our goal to be helpful and encouraging, to be reverent as we think about rightly dividing Scripture, but also to be practical and wise in how we can help you make decisions. So what are you thinking about in your financial life today? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Autumn standing by to take your calls today, 800-525-7000. We'll get you on the air quickly. Patrick called. He couldn't continue to hold, but he was asking about paying down debt with other types of debt other than credit cards, because we started today with Neely Simon talking about how to pay down credit card debt, and specifically my preferred approach using debt management, which is where you use a credit counseling agency. Our preferred vendor of choice is Christian Credit Counselors, a nonprofit credit counseling agency. We've been working together for more than a decade. Now they've worked with thousands of our listeners. And I think for anybody who has more than $4,000 in credit card debt, and that's just kind of the number where you no longer want to try to do it yourself and snowball it, you want to use a credit counseling agency. It's my preferred approach. Quickly, it's different than debt consolidation, where you take out a new loan and pay off the old loan and trying to get a lower interest rate. That usually doesn't lead to the behavior change. It also can result in more interest being paid, because even if it's at a lower rate, you tend to pay it back over a longer payback period. Secondly is debt settlement. Stay far away from this. This is where everything goes into arrears and gets into collection, and they try to come in and negotiate a reduced payoff. It'll trash your credit, could result even in a judgment against you. There's also a lot of fraud in that space from various players in that market. Credit settlement. So what's remaining? Well, it's debt management. And the distinction there with debt management is you're using a program that's already in place, that's only accessible through a nonprofit credit counseling agency. Typically, rates are cut in half or more. That is the credit card interest rate. And when you make that one level monthly payment through Christian Credit Counselors, the net result is paying that back about 80% faster. You can find out more at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Now, to Patrick's question a moment ago, what about other types of debt? And here's what I would say. First is, credit counseling agencies can assist with managing various types of unsecured debt beyond just credit cards. I think some of the key points about the types of debt credit counseling can help. Credit card debt is, of course, the most common. Federal and private student loans can often be included in a debt management program. Personal loans and unsecured loans can typically be included. Medical bills, a common unsecured debt that many individuals can face, can be effectively negotiated and managed through a debt management program as well with the help of credit counselors. Also, some secured debts can as well. But typically, secured debts would not be in a debt management program if they require collateral. And so you would typically see only those unsecured options. So if you want to learn more, I just head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Now, if you are going to do it yourself, we do recommend the snowball method. Now, you might say, What is that? That's just simply where you line up your debts, regardless of what type of it is, from smallest to largest balance, not interest rate, balance. Then we go back to work on the budget, free up as much margin as we can, and in doing so, we pay the minimums on everything, keep everything current, but take every bit of that margin, once you have at least a modest emergency fund, and attack that smallest balance. Why is that? Well, the studies show that the plan that is the most successful for you is the one that you'll actually complete. And when you snowball it, starting with the lowest balance, that early win of paying off, let's say, a $200 or $300 credit card in 60 days will give you the motivation to continue right down the line. And the studies say that's the one that you'll actually end up completing because you get those, you know, that incentive, that motivation along the way by seeing those balances eradicated in full. So hopefully that helps you, Patrick. Thanks for calling us today. I'm sorry we couldn't get you on the program. We've got some lines open, ready to head back to the phones here. The number to call again, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Victor. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Good afternoon, sir. I love your program. Wanted to know, do you have pamphlets or a printout about giving to the church or tithing to the church?
You know what? I'd be happy to send you a book by Randy Alcorn that addresses this topic on the tithe. That's called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. I'll tell you, Victor, other than God's Word, this is the book that has had the largest influence on me personally throughout my journey around the intersection of God's Word and finance. And there is a concerted section in there around the tithe, even though you'll see when you get it, it's pretty thick. It covers a wide range of financial topics from a biblical viewpoint. But certainly the tithe is addressed, and I'd be happy to send you that as our gift to you. It's called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. But is there something particular you're wrestling with related to the tithe?
Well, I wanted to teach our congregation more about tithing, on tithing, and on giving to the church.
Yeah, very good. I love that. And I think, are you a pastor?
I am.
Okay, excellent. You know, I think being able to lean into that and really search the scriptures yourself, come to your own convictions. You know, I think the tithe, in my view, is a great guideline drawing from the Old Testament tithe. There was multiple tithes, as you probably well know, for the Israelites. But pulling that forward and applying that to New Testament giving, which is systematic and proportionate, starting with the local church freely, sacrificially, as an act of worship, is the right approach. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
I wonder if you've ever stopped to consider you might be the reason your child is misbehaving. On the next Focus on the Family, parenting expert Dr. Kevin Lehman will uncover the root causes of whining, back-talking, and tantrums so you can transform your home. Some great practical insights from an expert next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Join us for the 2nd annual AFA at the Arc.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Arc.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, just before the break, we were talking to Victor. Victor is a pastor. He's wanting to educate his church on tithing. We're going to send him a copy of Randy Alcorn's book to go a little deeper. You know, here's my perspective. The Old Testament clearly establishes the practice of tithing, that is, giving 10% of one's produce or income to God. Keep in mind, the word tithe means a tenth, and so that's where we get that. We had multiple tithes in the law of Moses. It was actually one of them that was every 3 years, 2 of them that were every year. So if you look at it, it came out to about 23 1/3%. But in all cases, it was off the first and the best of the increase. Some of the passages around Old Testament tithing where we see this show up, Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Deuteronomy 14:22, you shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse there, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Now, the New Testament reinforces the principle of generous and cheerful giving from the heart without compulsion. That's a key idea. And while I would say a specific percentage is not mandated, the spirit of giving sacrificially to support the church and its mission is absolutely upheld. I would take you to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to the Lord. And then, of course, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We realize that when Jesus enters the scene, he raises the bar. Remember, he said, to whom much is given, much is required. And as to this sacrificial component, he, of course, celebrates the most famous giver in the Bible. We don't know her name, but we know she was a widow who gave out of her poverty the widow's mite. So hopefully that's maybe an overview of how to think about giving in light of those of us who are under the law of Christ, no longer the law of Moses. And yet, understanding that I think, again, what is upheld in the New Testament is this idea of generous and cheerful giving from the heart without compulsion. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Dave. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, I wanted to get your opinion on I recently retired, but I'm back in the workforce. I do have one pension. My wife is still working. And so my income's really decent right now. I have enough money in a 401k to pay off a small mortgage. $125 is the balance. Was with the weakening dollar, my concern was, should I just go ahead and take out of the 401k and pay the balance of the mortgage off instead of, it is low interest, but I'm just concerned about the timing of the, you know, the money or the value of the dollar right now.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that, Dave. Let's dig into this just a little bit further. So you said your balance is $125,000 on the mortgage. You mentioned a low interest rate. What is it? Somewhere in the twos or threes?
I think it's 3 1/3.
Okay, got it. And what do you have left to pay on it if you just continue on your current track, you know, with payments?
You mean years-wise?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was a 15-year, probably 7 or 8 years.
Okay. And what is your age, if you don't mind me asking?
58.
Okay.
And I do plan on working for till 65, 67.
Okay. So if you just do nothing, you would have this paid off by the time you enter retirement.
Correct.
Yeah. Nothing different, I mean, than you're already doing. So, right. You know, I guess here's my take on it. You know, I hear what you're saying about the dollar. And, you know, my perspective on this is obviously we've got a lot of challenges here. I mean, some macro challenges around, you know, we're not having enough babies to replace the retiring workers. That has long-term implications for us economically. We've obviously got, you know, currently we've got some regulation in place that's not pro-business and pro-growth that, you know, hopefully, you know, future lawmakers will address, returning to a more, I think, biblical approach of economics and wealth creation. We've obviously got runaway debt, and the interest on the debt is about to be the largest federal expenditure. You know, I think if we do nothing, we're probably about 20 years away from having the potential for a real debt crisis. It, you know, when I say debt crisis, it would probably look something similar to what we've seen play out in Europe in the past, where it would be inflationary, we'd have higher interest rates, it would result in slower growth of the economy. We could weather it, but it wouldn't be pretty. And so we need to address all of those things. The reason I say we'd probably got 20 years is we can probably sustain up to about 200% of debt to GDP, in my view, before it really becomes problematic. Now, in terms of the U.S. dollar, I just don't see a sufficient replacement. I mean, when we look in our rearview mirror, not only, you know, does somebody have to be strong enough to carry kind of de facto reserve currency status, but they have to be trusted on the global stage. And for instance, if you look at BRICS, you know, two of those are Russia and China. Well, how trusted are they in terms of, you know, not manipulating their currency and being able to be taken at their word with regard to how they're managing their currencies? I mean, I think there's just real problems there. And so despite our challenges, when we look in the rearview mirror, there's really not any other sufficient rivals there, in my view, that could take our place. Now, do we need to get our house in order? Absolutely. But does that mean you should pull out of investments that are continuing to grow for your retirement in lieu of paying off a low interest mortgage? Apart from a real conviction from the Lord to be debt free as soon as possible, I would say no. Because at this point, you'd be talking about, number one, paying a 10% penalty right off the bat if you didn't wait until after 59 and a half. And number two, it would all be taxable. And then number three, that money's no longer there to continue to grow. And I think the very best way for you to overcome the effects of inflation is to stay invested. Now, as you near retirement, I would get more conservative. But given that we're living longer, assuming the Lord tarries, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter because we're with him. But assuming he does, you know, you need to take probably, even once you hit retirement, a 30-year view on this, which means, you know, I would, even at age 65, you know, I'd probably have 40 to 45% still in stocks, 50 to 55, maybe 60% in fixed income or bonds, with maybe a 5% allocation of gold. And I think that's the way you continue to build your assets so that you have the ability to supplement Social Security, which was only intended to cover about 40% of your pre-retirement income. And the great news is that you should have, you know, this paid off by the time you retire, which is great because now that brings off your largest expense in that season of life, which just helps you balance your budget. That would be my preference versus you pulling that money out now. I'd just stay the course. Here's the thing. I've got to take a quick break. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. So stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
How should we be preparing for an eternity spent with Christ?
Well, you know, in the Bible, there are many key passages for that. One of my favorite is Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Talks about waking up, those of you who are sleeping.
Sheila Walsh and Dr. David Jeremiah discuss his book, The Great Disappearance, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, right here on American Family Radio. I've got room for maybe one or two more questions before we round out the program today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We're going to head to Texas here in just a moment, but first, I had a chance to talk to Dave a bit more off the air about his desire to pay off his mortgage. Here's where we landed. He's going to just prioritize accelerating the mortgage payoff out of current cash flow. They've got a nice surplus on a monthly basis. He's going to leave that 401k money right where it is, let it continue to grow, but look to accelerate that debt payoff over the next 5 years or so, just out of surplus, and accomplish both objectives: preserve his nest egg that's growing in a tax-deferred environment and still eradicate that mortgage as soon as possible. I think it's a great decision. Let's head back to the phones to Texas. Hi, Jody. How can I help?
How are you doing?
Good, great.
Morning. Thank you for taking me. Okay, I have a question, and this is something that it took me a while to understand, and I've been trying to teach my children. When you apply for a loan, so you go to see this beautiful house and you want the house,
yeah,
and they give you, say, a 7% interest rate on the house.
Yes.
But when you get your first mortgage statement from the bank, they haven't taken 7% in interest. They've taken off your payments, you know, $800, probably a good 500 and something of it has gone to interest, may probably more, and they give you maybe $100 or so in toward the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So that whole process is called front loading interest. Mm-hmm. And so actually you're paying probably what, 60% in interest on that loan, not 7%.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why the house balances do not go down, because you're paying so little in principal every single month,
mm-hmm,
that at the end of the year, you've paid almost, you know, just a very, especially your first year, you've paid such a small amount towards your actual principal, and that you just continue to pay interest on this higher amount of balance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Actually, what happened is I went I went to refinance my house. And when I refinanced my house, I asked the gentleman, how long will it take me to recoup? Because I had been paying on my house for about 10, 15 years, so I was starting to pay less interest. And he said, well, I said, how long will it take me to recoup the money that I'm going to lose because you're going to start that cycle over and I'm going to pay the upfront interest? And he said, even though your rate's lower, it'll take you 5 years to actually realize a profit from refinancing at the lower rate. Of course, you have the lower payment.
Yes.
But you're not going to save yourself money when it actually comes to how much you're paying off toward your house.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's true, because typically you're going to have somewhere between 3% and 5% in fees. And in order to get that back, it's generally going to take you about 5 years. In some cases, it could even be longer than that, which is why you need to save at least 2% before on the interest rate before you'd want to consider refinancing. I would say at a minimum, 1.5%. And you want to make sure you're going to stay in the home long enough to realize that. Let's go back to your original question, though. You're exactly right in the sense that, that's just the way amortized interest works. And so, it's not necessary. I mean, nobody's hiding anything. The amortization schedule is available and you can see from your mortgage company before you close on it exactly with a level monthly payment, which is what an amortized loan is. You have a fixed monthly payment. So they're divided equally, but the amortization causes the majority of the interest to go out of each payment on the front end toward interest, and then it flips on the back end. And so that changes over time. So clearly in those early years, the larger portion of that monthly payment is going toward interest because the outstanding principal balance is higher. And as the loan ages and the principal is paid, more payments go toward principal on the back end. It's not a ploy by the banks. It's a straightforward result of the mathematics involved when you apply a fixed monthly payment, amortizing the full loan amount over the term. And again, it's all fully disclosed, which is why I think it's important, if you can, to do maybe one of two things. Number one is add something on the front end each month over and above the monthly payment, because anything you send beyond that scheduled monthly payment where it's applied based on that amortization schedule, which is all available on the front end, but anything above that is going directly to principal, which is going to really benefit you because now you're not paying on any interest on that amount that you reduce the principal by for the life of the loan. So that's great. And I would just really try to do that, maybe at least one payment, extra payment a year if you can. The second is, I generally advise folks to, get a 30-year mortgage, but pay it like a 15-year mortgage. So rather than getting the 15-year mortgage, go ahead and get the 30, pay it like a 15-year. And then if you ever got into a financial hardship, you lost your job, you had an unexpected kind of major event, you have the ability to pay the scheduled payment based on a 30-year amortization, but you don't have to. And if everything works according to plan, you pay it off much sooner and save all of that interest. But it's really just the difference, Jody, between a simple interest loan and an amortized interest loan. And I think that's why it's important to understand the value of principal reduction along the way. Does that make sense, though?
Well, it does. I guess, can you explain to me then a simple interest loan would be basically they say they're charging you, 7%, and you're going to actually pay 7%. Is that correct?
Yeah. What's so happening is they're charging the interest based on the balance on that day. Whatever's remaining, they charge the interest on it. With an amortized loan, it's all determined in advance. So based on that level payment you have over the life of the loan, they determine in advance exactly what percent is going to interest and what's going to principal. And then that shifts over time, more on the front end, much lower on the back end. And so that's just the way the amortized interest works over the balance of a 30-year loan.
So basically, it just seems like since most people don't live in their houses for their full life, then you would basically be in a situation to where you're paying most of your payment toward interest if you live in that home, say you get a 30-year loan, but you live there 12 years, the bank has had the advantage of getting most of the interest out of you, even if you move in 12 years. And then you buy another home and you start the cycle again.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why it's important for you to try to prepay as much as you can, especially in those early years, and roll that equity in to get as low of a mortgage as possible. And so hopefully you've got some appreciation in that home that you're living in. You know, you get a 30-year loan, but let's say you only live there 8 years. And you're right, in those first 8 years, the majority has gone to interest, but hopefully you've had some appreciation, you've had some principal reduction, and maybe you paid a little bit extra. And I think that's why it's key that you take 100% of that equity and roll it into the next property, because you're right, if you move every 5 to 7 years, you're not going to make a lot of progress through those mortgage payments just because of the way amortized interest works. So I think understanding that is really key, and I'm glad you raised the point in the process. But I think it's also important to understand that all of that is fully disclosed on the front end. I mean, that's not hidden to anyone. You should be able to see at any given moment exactly out of every payment you're going to make, what's going to interest and what's going to principal, and the effect of those extra principal payments along the way. Hey, thanks for calling today. It's great to have you on the program. Let's go up to Texas. Hi, Gregory. How can I help?
Hey, good morning. I've got old amortization books from 1970 that show 8.25%. People just don't realize how cheap 3 or 4% money is.
So true.
But Elon Musk goes to India to bar, the richest man in the world goes to India to borrow $2 billion. Why? You know. But
yeah.
My question is, I'm looking at buying a piece of property for $330,000, acreage, 4 acres over here behind where I live, and my friend's going to sell it to me. But should I pay cash or should I finance it? Because I have no credit, but I have lots of treasuries and CDs.
Yeah. Well, I think just given where we're at, you know, you've got kind of a double whammy working against you there. If, you know, we've already got higher interest rates, but you make a great point, Gregory. Historically, they're not high, but versus the last 20 years and what we've become mm-hmm. accustomed to, they mm-hmm. are. But nevertheless, with real estate prices high on top of higher than, you know, the last two decades worth of interest rates, on top of the fact that you don't have a lot of credit, I kind of like the idea of you buying that with cash, so long as, you know, you have the ability to do it. And when I say the ability to do it, I mean, you know, we're not pulling from your emergency fund, that's your liquid reserves, and you've still got enough working for you for retirement. Because if this is not going to be income generating land, then you're just counting on the pure appreciation of this. And so you need to look at that versus what, you know, that money could be doing elsewhere, and just compare the potential return on investment. Does that make sense?
Your assumption on the land is it is going to be generating income.
It is.
Building a trailer, yeah, RV park, and
okay, good.
4 acres, and then I'm going to build a travel trailer park on another 5 acres. And I'm just wondering if I should take my cash out of the treasuries and CDs versus financing it through my bank. You know?
Well, I mean, you're going to do better financially by in this environment, despite these higher CD rates. You're still going to be paying more in interest than you're going to be earning, even if you get 5.5% for a 1 year CD, because with bad credit and rates, even for the best credit, 7.5, you know, plus, you're probably going to be up 8.5%, maybe more. And so I think for that reason, I'd probably pull it out. You could always refinance it down the road, you know, if you wanted to. But I think at this point, I'd probably pay the cash. It just doesn't make sense on paper, given where we're at with interest rates today. And I love the fact this is going to be income generating. That makes a lot of sense. So I think I'd come down on go ahead and pull it out of the treasuries and just buy it for cash. Hey, Greg, thanks for your call, sir. God bless you. This is Faith and Finance Live. Grateful for my team today and grateful for you. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.